April is National Poetry Month, and what better way to spend it than with our new Kansas Poet Laureate. I'm Kay McIntyre, and today on KPR presents Waskar Medina. Waskar, congratulations and great to meet you.
Thank you. It's great to meet you.
We'll talk about your term as Poet Laureate in just a minute, but let's start out with a poem.
All right. Per Aspera ad Astra. We were lost in the plains, beautiful and ordinary. Sunflowers in the fields, seeds of fallen stars standing tall and deeply rooted in this land. I've admired how our flowers shine, grasping towards the sky, beyond the prairie grass, anchored down to earth, mimicking the sun. When a gardener plants a seed of helianthus, they are performing magic, raising stars out of the dust where buzzing planets circle, half-red moons set, and swarming comets float in orange comas. I've always felt that late at night in the bed of a truck in a Kansas field, we were at the center of this universe, and I was exactly where I should be, amongst the flowers, not below.
Wow, that's very Kansas.
You gotta have a Kansas poem if you're gonna be a Kansas poet. I feel like it's, you know, it's a rite of passage.
Waskar, for many Kansans, this may be the first they've heard of you or heard your voice or heard your poetry. Tell us a little bit about you.
I am originally from Texas. I moved here in 2001. I do poetry around the area, a lot of open mics. I write for a magazine in Topeka, 785, and I'm the lit editor, so I spend a lot of time promoting other poets. So I know where the poets are, and I go follow them around and involve myself with the readings. I love poetry. I'm Puerto Rican and Panamanian, so my parents, and I love Kansas. I don't think I'm ever going to move from here.
That's great. Well, we're glad to have you. And obviously, Humanities Kansas is glad to have you because they named you the new Poet Laureate of Kansas just this past week.
Yes, yesterday it was announced. Correct.
Well, congratulations. What's that like to get the call?
I had to keep it to myself for a while. And it was interesting because I could share it with close friends. My friends, I trust them. You know, they'll keep, you know, lock and key. I'll never say anything, you know, without permission. And there was only one instance where I wanted to, like, actually share that I was a poet laureate. And it was at Hispanic Day on the Hill, you know, at the Capitol. And I read this particular poem, and I was discussing while I was reading it. And I just wanted to say, you know, who I was already. So it was an interesting moment, but I've been keeping it to myself, and now it's out, the cat's out the bag, and it's time to celebrate.
Waskar, your last couple predecessors in the position, Kevin Rabus, who we'll hear from later this hour, and Eric McHenry, both have an academic background. You, on the other hand, are, I guess, what I would call a working writer. How does that shape your poetry, and how do you think that affects how you write?
I write out of necessity, in a sense. I mean, more with a need to be understood, but I believe the academics do the same. We're all poets. I believe there's a threefold path for poets. I believe there's the academic poet, the traveling poet, which is probably where most people would put me, because I do go around quite a bit. And then, you know, there's the performing artists, the spoken word poets. I think we all, you know, have the capacity to, at some point, become poet laureates, and this is a change of pace. I'm happy about it. I just know that I love to write. It's something I do every day, and that's very true. I don't spend a lot of time teaching poetry, so I have a lot of time to work on my poetry.
In your day job at 785, you work as a copy editor and as a publisher. How do you think that shapes the way you think about words?
I spend a long time choosing the right word. It really matters, the weight in a word, you know, having the right word in the right place. is the only way to get to the next word for me. So it could take quite a bit of time for me to finish a poem, you know, but there's no rush for me. I trust the process, and I just want to get it right. And that is one of my day jobs. My regular day job, what I do for a living is I work in maintenance. I fix things, which I enjoy quite a bit. It's instant gratification, you know. The poems take so long, you know, to produce for me. And some days they come right out, you know, stream of consciousness. And I appreciate that too, but I will sit there and edit until I'm tired of it. You know, walk away from the piece. It's like a relationship. You got to step away for a moment and clear your head and get back to it and see if you still love it.
Well, speaking of getting back to it, could I get you to read a second poem?
Yes. This poem I'm going to read is Surrogate City. I told you I moved here from Texas, San Antonio to be specific. I missed the city, and I would go to Kansas City quite a bit, you know, just to kind of feel the hum, you know, the highway. Surrogate City. Mama, estoy bien. Mother KC has adopted me. She too wears iron garments of concrete and glass, winks at me to cross the streets, reminds me I'm cared for through sirens in the air. She hums a highway lullaby of old Paseo Puente, so I may pass the nights. Skylines don't resemble mi vieja San Ciudad in peace. She embraces your son, the sun, el sol, my soul. Mother, KC has been good to me.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's also partially in Spanish, which you are the first Latino
Correct.
Poet Laureate of Kansas. What does that mean to you?
Inclusion. It's a symbol of diversity. I'm proud. You know, my mother came from Panama. My dad, you know, came from Puerto Rico to the mainland. So, you know, I'm first here, you know, so to be in this position means a lot to my family and to the people around me. And I think the optics are beautiful as well, you know, shows that Kansas is way more diverse than some people might think, you know, and I just want to make sure I share that experience, what it's like for someone like me to be in Kansas and how I identify with Kansas.
What is it like writing a poem like that one, partially in English, partially in Spanish?
It's actually, for me, it's quite easy because I'm in the in-between. I'm no longer, you know, from Panama, Puerto Rico, and sometimes I feel like I'm still not, you know, American enough. You know, so those poems come a lot easier for me. It's where I find balance in who I am. That identifies very much with me.
Oscar, are there common themes that run through a lot of your work?
Right now, yes. It's because I'm working on a manuscript, Un Mango Grows in Kansas, and it is really about what it has been for me to be a Latino in Kansas. You know, that experience and finding my place here and trying to share my love of Kansas with other Kansans, but also knowing that there are portions of Kansas who are not, you know, ready to accept, you know, Latinos in their community. And I struggle with that. You know, I see my mother's struggles, you know, working in healthcare and how she's treated sometimes. And it's difficult, you know. She's one of the best at what she does, but because of her name, her accent, you know, her skin tone, she's not welcomed as often. So I want to go around and welcome people to me. You know, I want to invite them to the Latino experience of Kansas.
How do you think poetry maybe is a good medium in which to do that?
T.S. Eliot once wrote, genuine poetry communicates before it's understood. And that is the basis for me with poetry. It's why I chose it, because you can feel before you think. And when you can connect with someone on that level, you can start to develop empathy, you know, and that's human connection. That just where compassion starts. So poetry is that avenue for me.
How did you first come to writing poetry?
Oh, at a young age. It's something I've always carried with me. I've been very introverted most of my life. I spent a lot of time moving around. My father was a drill sergeant in the Army, so we traveled quite a bit. And I'd moved to a new city, new town, new school. And, you know, I was very Latino, you know, so I spent quite a bit of time learning English, reading books, you know, and poetry just fell in my lap. And I loved that it was abstract. It sometimes didn't make sense, but I felt things, you know, so it was an instant connection for me. It was a good relationship from the start.
So you wrote as a child?
Really young. Yeah, I started writing poetry when I was like 11.
When you go back and look at those poems, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, not good. That's the first thing that comes to mind. A lot of them were like 2-3 lines. A lot of them were like about things I liked, pretty much. You know, just expressing that.
I guess they were pretty good poems for an 11-year-old.
I would say so. I mean, but I'm biased. I wrote them. My mother would say that too.
She's your mom. She has to say
that.
She has to, yeah. What is it that you hope to do as Poet Laureate? Do you have an idea for what your Poet Laureateship will look like?
A lot of traveling. I want to meet people in rural Kansas. You know, I want to connect. I want to kind of find that space between, you know, these divisive lines that I think sometimes, like, we constantly talk about, urban, rural, or conservative, liberal, American immigrant. You know, I want to connect on a very basic level. So I want to travel, speak my truth, and I want them to speak their truth as well. And I want them to have equal time, you know, to share their poetry with me, their words of truth. You know, as long as we're speaking truth, and we do it through art, I think it offers us a bit of grace. And when we speak with grace, people are more likely to listen.
Let's hear another one of your poems.
Yeah, we can do that. This one's called Mi Isla. I just got to, you know, it is in Spanish too, and I probably should preface with what some of the words mean.
My island.
My island. We got that one. El Yunque is a jungle in Puerto Rico. And parrandas are Christmas caroling in Puerto Rico. And it's a time of year where everyone comes back home, and it starts probably Three Kings Day and goes on till New Year's. It's a long festival. You go house to house. El Coqui is a frog from Puerto Rico. And if it leaves the island, story says that they can't live or survive, so they have to live on the island. And jíbaros are peasant farmers. And my father's father worked the land in the mountains in Yabacoa. You know, out there, there were green plantains, and they cut sugarcane. It was really hard labor back then. So he's not from the city, the tourist parts. He was a peasant farmer, and jíbaro has some negative connotations back home still for some people. But here's the poem, Mi Isla. I had a mango today. It was mostly green with reds and yellows. El Yunque at dawn is mostly green with reds and yellows. My homeland's enchanted, full of shady jungle mountains, gawking naked beaches, slowly necking ocean. There, sea breezes woo the palm trees and peeping coconuts faint from holding on too long in sand asleep, daydreaming of me. Tonight, un brindis por ti, papá. Let us pretend the crickets are drunken coquis de paranda, struggling with loss, singing in the wrong key, playing out of tune, unable to find their way home. Let us pretend we are surrounded by vacation, not work, that all this wheat is beach, that the above blue is ocean. Let us pretend you're watching me, ripe in a hammock's womb, strung to horizons with no ocean or beach sand near, nor fear that I've become landlocked here, surrounded by jíbaros who don't like jíbaros, still an island.
That's a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
It occurs to me that in that poem, and perhaps with other work of yours, that you're really bridging two worlds, and that by using Spanish language that you're communicating with maybe a broader audience and educating us about worlds that we know little about.
Worlds that exist within Kansas already, yes.
Wesker, what is it you would like us to know about you? What haven't I asked you that I should?
I love jazz. I like doing musical theater. Love running. I'm a playwright too. I love plays. It's just that experience, seeing people speak your words on stage that you've written, and every time they're up there, it's different. It's never the same experience, and it's a shared experience with an audience, you know. So, you know, there's this trust, you know, and also what you receive in return, that energy is always different. So you always have to prepare yourself for that and still deliver your lines. So I take that with me when I do poetry now. I have to deliver my lines.
What kinds of plays have you written?
I have one play recently that was shared. It was produced by Ad Astra Theater Company. It was a homegrown playwright project this past year. And it was called Theodore's Love. And it was an interesting story. I mean, it's a woman who find out her husband, who they've been together their entire lives, had a little bit of life before her, and it completely changed her view of who he was. And she had to come to terms with other people who knew. So she had to find forgiveness, if not only in herself, in him, and the other people involved, and also, you know, her congregation at the church.
I'm curious how sitting in an audience and watching a play of yours performed, how that compares to actually standing before an audience and, say, reciting your own poetry.
Reciting poetry for me is more personal for me. It's my words. They come from a real place. They are genuine. You know, and I write from a vulnerable place at all times. I think you have to be sincere and open in that manner. Because, you know, like I said, genuine poetry, it has to, for it to be genuine, we have to, you know, define what genuine is. It has to be felt when it's written. It has to be felt when it is read. It has to be felt when it is heard or spoken. And for any of those to occur, the first thing that has to happen is it has to be felt when it was written. So I feel a lot when I share poetry and write poetry.
Wesker, how about one last poem to go out on?
Yes, we can do that. This one's called Spanish Knotted Feather Stitching. Only Neruda can save us. I've written him a plea for guidance, addressed it to the waning crystal moon on that red branch of the now-gone autumn in his window. It's cinched with thread to a paloma, whom refused to wear the satchel my abuelita knitted through manos anudado before her passing. El Paloma argued for practicality, balance, and against my need for sentimentality. The added weight of things makes flight onerous, he'd say. How I wish this bird was more passenger pigeon, less dove, willing to fight through wind and rain to get there, okay with war and loss. I've even taught him to fly in cursive in case he didn't make it so others may see the phrases passing by before he's shot down. But very few people see the need for soft, round words, free and flowing in the air. His grace appearing indecisive, almost lost from below. How they've pitied him, poor Paloma. I beg of you, please take this note to his shores. Sing towards the sill in his view. Be candid, have manners. Wipe the sand from your feet before entering. Bathe in his café. Perch yourself upon his finger piece. I just have to know, can a song of despair come before a love poem?
Wesker Medina is the brand new poet laureate of Kansas. Wesker, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.